Book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. I've preached along these lines before quite a bit over the years. These scriptures have meant a lot to me. They've challenged me. They've charged me, they've convicted me, they've corrected me, and they have encouraged me. I thank God for His Word, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle." That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading this morning. And I want to go back and take this thought from verse number 3. The Bible said, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." I want to preach just for a little while on not letting the light burn out. Not letting the light burn out. It's very clear in the New Testament. Our Lord said that He was the light of the world. But before He left, He told His disciples, He told all believers, in fact, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world, and shall not walk in darkness." Now, I just want to take a picture of this. Now, according to our Lord, you and I that's saved, listen, our light can't go out. Amen. But I want us to look at this picture and how dangerous it is to let the light that we're supposed to be go out. There are those that would view the light and not see a light like they should see a light. Does that make sense? And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. Here are some things that happened in the days of Eli the priest. Eli the priest was supposed to keep the lamp burning. He was supposed to make sure, the Bible says in Exodus 27 and 20, that the lamp was to burn always. Aaron and his sons were supposed to order it from evening to morning. In other words, they were supposed to do what they were supposed to do to keep the lamps burning. To keep the light in the temple of the Lord burning. And listen, it's important. God is the one who, through Aaron first, lit these lamps and lit his altar. Yeah, this is the light of God that we're talking about. Now, there was certain lights that only burned at night. But then there was the lamp that burned always. Are you listening to me? And this was the lamp that burned always. This wasn't morning time, like some people say in some commentaries. Well, those lamps were supposed to go out in the morning. This was at night. This was when they had laid down to sleep, Brother Danny. This was at night time when Eli had laid down. His head was heavy. His eyes had waxed dim. And little Samuel did just as he did. He laid his head down and went to sleep. So these lamps should have been burning all night. If it were the lamps that they snuffed out in the morning. But I believe it was the lamp that was supposed to burn always. That lamp, because he said it was where the ark of God was. Where the ark of God was. And that's a picture of the always burning light. And the ark is the picture of the ever presence of God. Are you listening to me? It wasn't supposed to be took out of there. The light wasn't supposed to go out. Nothing was supposed to ever change. You see, God said, I am the Lord. I change not. Back there behind the holy, in the holy of holies, that's where this was. This was where that lamp that burned always. And Eli was responsible to keep that light burning. So it was in a dark time. Listen, and we're in a dark time. And right now, listen, if there's ever a time that every light should be on, it should be right now. We need our lights burning now while it's dark. Don't let the light go out, especially in the dark. That's what light's for, amen? To see your way in the dark. Light is most needed in the dark. We've got lights on, it's daytime. I'm sure if we cut these lights off, everybody can still see pretty clear. But you let nighttime come and cut these lights off. Are you listening to me? I mean, cut the outside lights off, everything. You're not going to be able to see in front of you, the hand in front of your face. It's a light that's supposed to burn when it's dark. Amen? And God help us to be those lights burning in the dark day. Because we are in a dark day. There were some things, and it was pretty dark in Eli's day. I look back in chapter number 2, and one thing was, of course, most of you Bible students know, was the evil sons of Eli the priest. A bad testimony. I think that was the start of the light going out, amen? Having a bad testimony. It's important for you and I as God's people to have a good testimony. Amen. They were supposed to be the priest's sons. They were supposed to be helping Eli the priest, their father. They were next in line, are you listening to me, to do the work of the high priest. People looked at them and they saw the people that were working in the temple, working in the church. And, you know, most of the time, people today out in the world, that's what they do. They say, well, so-and-so at the church and so-and-so at the church. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. So-and-so at the church may be wrong and may have done wrong. But that doesn't mean that God's light's not still burning. Just because Eli had two sons that were evil and wicked and they had a bad testimony doesn't mean the rest of the temple had a bad testimony. Amen? You need to remember that. Thank God for the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank God for His church. Thank God for God's people. Those like Sam, I mean, that is, they're doing the work of God like they're supposed to do. Trying to be a light. Keeping the light burning. Amen? Keeping the offering going. They had to keep the offerings coming in. He was the only one that could present that main offering from year to year for the sins of the people. Think if there wasn't somebody there to give the offering. You ever thought about that? What it is to not give the offering? Listen, every one of us as believers, we are the priest of our home. When's the last time you gave, I mean truly gave, that offering to God that He asked for from your home? Right. That He asked of, amen? That He requires of you. I mean, if we're the priest of our home, we are obligated. Right. But now thank God it's not of blood and it's not for sin anymore. We have a great high priest. Amen. Pass into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God that ever liveth and maketh intercession for us, doesn't He? Thank God our Lord and Savior has taken that offering of His blood that He shed on Calvary in heaven for us. Amen. But I'm talking about us as personal priests of our home. He calls the men. We are individual as children of God. He said we're kings and priests, didn't He? That's what He got. That's how our position. That's how He looks at us. And so we're responsible. But they had a bad testimony. We need to have a good testimony. Listen, that's something that's not preached or taught about a whole lot in this day and time that we live in. Everybody just says, well, everybody's got sin. We may have it, but we need to do something about it. Amen? Amen. Amen. We need to confess them and forsake them. Amen. Ain't that right? We need to lay aside, the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us. Hey, we can't run this Christian race the way we need to unless we lay aside those weights and sin. They had a bad testimony. We need a good testimony. Even if you've had a bad testimony, listen to me. You can do something about that. Amen. What can I do, preacher? You can make things right. Amen. Make things right in the eyes of those that look upon you with a bad testimony. Amen? Let them know you've sinned, you've failed, you've got right with God. Amen? Show them the love of Christ. Show them that you're on the straight path the way you should be. Christians should have the best testimony of anybody. People that say they're saved should carry a high testimony. Shouldn't have a testimony of meanness. Amen. Shouldn't have a testimony of being a smart aleck. Shouldn't have a testimony of cussing. amen, shouldn't have a judgmental testimony, shouldn't have a testimony of always running other people down, amen, tail bearers and so forth, amen. God wants you and I to have a good testimony. He tells us how to have a good testimony. I think that helped the light to go out. Listen, it will cause the light to go out quick. Is to have a bad testimony. Look what happened because of them. Right there in chapter number 2, the Bible said in verse number 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They didn't want to give. You know why? Because those young men, let me explain it to you like this. In the days of the Levites and the priests, they didn't have an inheritance of land like Judah or the rest of the tribes. The Lord was their inheritance. They didn't have land that they could till and produce fruit. They had to depend on the tenth that everybody brought to them to live on. They brought a tenth of their apples, a tenth of whatever it was, a tenth of their wheat, a tenth of their corn. I mean, whatever, and their meat. What they did is they had brought it in a pan. And those young priests were supposed to take a flesh hook with three prongs and just throw it up in the pan and then pull it out. And whatever was hanging on that, that was theirs. But you know what they were doing? They were lowering that pan and checking out the good pieces and pulling out the big pieces, the good. And men, they started up, and they said, if you don't let us do it, said, we'll take it by force. That was against God to do the offering of the Lord that way. That was far against God to do the offering. I mean, listen. These bunch of God robbers. That's what a lot of men are. They're a bunch of God robbers. Amen. These men that they want all the people's money. Amen. That's right. They just want to be rich off the people of God. They want to. Amen. Their belly is their God. What the Bible says. Amen. Their belly is their God. God, have mercy on them that's in charge to cause the people of God to abhor the offering of the Lord. That caused the light to go out. I wouldn't want to give an offering that way neither. It wasn't given. It wasn't used. Listen, I want to tell you something. As long as you give your offering to the Lord, if somebody abuses that, that's on their head, not on yours. You do your part, and God will honor you. But this caused the light to go out. Caused the light to go out. The sin of the tabernacle. In verse 22 of chapter 2, Eli was very old. He was like 98, according to chapter 4. At the end, maybe even the end of chapter 3. But I know it was there roundabout. He's 98 years old, so he was very old. Chapter 2, verse 22. And heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. You know what he ought to have done? He ought to have took a stick and went down there and whipped the daylights out of them. And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They should have been stoned according to the law. Isn't that what the law says? Amen. He should have took them for the sake of the light, for the sake of God. He should have stoned them bunch of adulterers out at the edge of the gate.
Amen. You know why? Other people's families that had got caught in great sin was held to judgment. Wasn't he? But he wasn't going to do that to his son. He wouldn't. Listen, people, they love their own. They'll protect them in their sin. Don't you ever protect your youngin in sin. Don't protect your family in sin. Amen. If they're in sin, you stand with God. You say it ain't right. Amen. It ain't right. What you're doing ain't right. What you're doing is going to cause us to have the light go out. And so God made a warning to Eli in verse 27. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus and thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? You see, Eli, he could trace his family all the way back to Aaron. And that's who God was talking about. God was saying, didn't I bring a divine call into your family? I mean, listen, for us to let the light go out knowing how good God has been to us, amen, that God Almighty would speak His word to my family. Amen. To bring His power and to bring His presence into my family's line. That I could be saved. He said, didn't I call your father when they were down there in Egypt? And did I choose him? Look at the language. Verse 28. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel? God could have chosen any tribe, but He chose the Levites to be the priest. Look at it. To be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, and to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering. Oh my, you see what he's done? In God's eyes, Eli, all that God has given him, Eli just as well has said, get that away from me. How awful that the one that God had mercy on, that God called his family, that God called him, that God had given him so much, for him to then turn and kick at the hand of God. Oh, that's going to cause the light to go out, don't you think? I mean, I think this was the last thing, the sin of the priest. He said at the end of verse 29, he said that you make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. That's what they were doing. They were taking the best of the offerings from them. They weren't just by divine chance, flesh hook. If it was a piece of fat, it's a piece of fat. That's what God wanted them to have. If it was a big piece, thank God for a big piece. But no, they were always, every family, every pan, every offering, the chiefest, the best. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We should give our best to the Lord. But somebody shouldn't steal the best. There's a difference in you giving your best to the Lord and somebody stealing that best from the Lord. You need to think about that. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel, listen, he went on down in verse number 30. He said, be it far from me, down toward the end. Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's what God told Eli. And he told him in verse 34, this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. That was his two sons. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. With promises like that, who wouldn't want to do what God asks? Amen. God is good to us. God has given us great promise. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Oh, let everyone that thirst come to the water and drink freely. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. I feel like preaching, praise God. Woo! You can have your sin forgiven, washed away, saved. I give unto them eternal life, Brother Carl, and they shall never perish. Glory to His name. What a blessing. What promises. But God said, because of them, light's going to go out. But I'm going to raise me up a faithful priest. First thing you think of, it's Samuel. But it's not, it's Zadok. See, Samuel wasn't a Levite. He was given to the temple. And I've even thought about that. Was even Samuel supposed to be there? Brother Mike? I mean, you look what God said about His temple and who goes in the temple and who does what in the temple. I know His mother promised, you give me a man child, I'll lend him unto you all the days of his life. Well, that's good. I'm not sure he's supposed to be in that temple, though. God made him one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. But Samuel did not become a priest. But somebody in the family of Aaron was, Zadok. And he was faithful. He was the next faithful. Amen. God's got somebody. Amen. They can keep the light on. Amen. God's always got somebody that'll do the work just the way God said, do it. Amen. And be proud to do it. Hey, are you listening to me? Glory to God. We've got a church that God has saved, put us in, and He said, run it this way. I am the Lord. What caused the light to go out? Eli's eyes. They began to wax dim that he could not see. Listen, man begins to see things not like he one time did. That can cause his eyes to wax dim. See? Used to believe one way and now you change. He didn't see things like he one time did. Listen, his example, when he laid down and little Samuel went, followed in his example. These little children are going to do just exactly what we do. If we shout, they'll learn to shout. We praise the Lord, they'll learn to praise the Lord. We give, they'll give. If we're faithful, they'll be faithful. Amen? You train up a child in the way it should go. That's what the Bible says. Amen. All of us, listen, they're going to do by our example. Some of us, we're trying to do by the example that was left before us, ain't we? And we talk about it and how wonderful they were, how good they were. God, help us to be what they were. Amen. We need to be what they were, that our children can look back and say, hey, thank God for what they were. And they'll have something to attain to remember, some landmarks. That's how we know we need revival. We've got landmarks. That's how we know we need to pray. We've got landmarks. That's how we know we need to be full of God's Holy Ghost. It's because we have landmarks. If you're taught right, most of the time you'll do right. If you're taught wrong, you're just bound to do wrong. I want you to notice something here. What time is it? Oh, stay with me just another few minutes, okay? The Bible says, an heir of the lamp of God. When I've thought about this, for the lamp to go out in the temple, how awful that was. The lamp that's supposed to burn always, the lamp back there where the ark of God was. It was a light for the ark. And all that was in the ark. The word ark, I looked this up when I was studying it, is Aron. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right. It's A-R-O-N. Aron. And whether you're talking about Noah's Ark, it's Aron. Or they made an ark of bulrushes for baby Moses, Aron. Or this ark, Aron. But there's always something attached to this ark. It's always the ark of the Lord, the ark of testimony, the ark of God. Are you listening? The ark of the covenant. It always is distinguished from all other arks. You need to remember that. The ark of God is always distinguished from every other. To let that light go out. What a shame. It was not long after he let the light go out that the ark was taken. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. When he let the lamp go out, Eli was in a place he couldn't even hear the voice of the Lord. God called Samuel. Eli didn't hear his voice. God should have been calling Eli, but he was calling Samuel. In chapter number 4, you'll find the Israelites had went up against the Philistines right at the beginning of chapter 4. And they were beat. And they said, let's go get the ark. Let's go get the ark and then we'll mop up with them. But you know what? The presence of God wasn't with them in the ark like it was before. And they got beat again terribly, and the Philistines took the ark. You know why? Because they let the light go out. The daily rituals that they should have been doing daily to keep that lamp burning always, If Eli would have done that, never let the light go out, when they came back to get that ark, I'm confident God would have blasted those Philistines. We expect the power of God to come with us, as at other times when we've let the light burn down. We've not kept up the daily rituals that we're supposed to keep the light burning bright. There's things that God wants me and you to do to keep our light burning brightly. I want you to stand.